Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things going? Father's Day?
I had a fantastic Father's Day. I got a state-of-the-art griddle, much better than the one that I had before.
You were complaining about the other one.
I was complaining about the other griddle. It was just starting to stick a little bit, but this is, my daughter gets mad at me because I say irreversible, but it's reversible. And on one side, you can cook the burgers and the salmon and all that, and on the other, of course, the fat back.
So of course.
For your collard greens. Did Excellent. You get a griddle as well?
No. I am griddleless.
I don't know how you guys make it without the griddle.
It's shocking.
But I also, we got the gizmo where you can sit at the television and watch the Netflix. And you know, on this gizmo, they have TuneIn. And right. You can go on there and you can listen 24/7 to Business Radio X. And my family was thrilled about that.
As you should.
Not so much. They didn't listen to
That's now the soundtrack of your house. That's wonderful.
That's right. So this is going to be a great segment. It's a special edition. It's the Sandy Springs Chamber special edition. So a little bit later in the program, we're going to get to visit from some members there. We're going to talk with Jason Carlin and Kira Carlin, and we're going to get a chance to have a conversation with Peter Tennis. He's with KW Commercial. But first up, let's introduce, again, no stranger to the microphone here, Christine Heller with the Sandy Springs Chamber. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
So get us caught up. What's happening over there at the Sandy Springs Chamber?
Well, I just came from our monthly Bagels and Business Breakfast where we had a very interesting speaker. His name is Rick Reitz, and he's a 35-year veteran in the film and entertainment business, Atlanta-based, and he was instrumental in creating the laws for tax credits that have brought so much of the entertainment business and film and production business to the state of Georgia. And it was fascinating to hear about how much money there is in our state right now. We're number three behind California and New York.
Wow. That was a relatively short period of time, too.
Yes. Yeah, just
a Now, is there work happening here in Sandy Springs in the film industry?
Well, I think there was a movie filming here just recently. I think Reese Witherspoon was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, at this present time, I think there are 12 films being in some stage of production in the state all around Georgia.
And countless reality TV shows.
Oh,
right?
Countless reality TV shows. And I'm not sure of the number of the television programs, but there's at least four or five that are regularly filmed here, including the something about Vampire Diaries or
right.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, Katie will be so mm-hmm. excited to hear about that. So recap, if you will, your role at the Sandy Springs Perimeter Chamber. What exactly do you do over there?
I am the director of communications, and what I do is anything having to do with getting the word out to the public about what good things the chamber is doing. I do the website, press releases, articles, coordination of special events like this, networking events, anything we need to do. We have a small staff, so we all roll up our sleeves and do whatever needs to be done.
So now you have the bagels and business breakfast. Are there any other networking events like that?
Yes, we have networking events that happen during the lunch hour for those that works for. And then we have after hours business networking happy hours, which we hold at a local restaurant each month. This past month we had our what we call it, Tuned Up Tuesdays is the new name. It was at Hammocks Trading Company. And the next one will be held at Uncle Julio's. We try to patronize local businesses.
That's good.
And bring folks in.
So tell us about some upcoming events. Let's hit some of the high spots.
High spots. We have Governor Deal coming into a chamber luncheon in July 9th. We'll be holding that at First Data Corporation, which is one of our Chairman Circle members. And he's coming to talk to us about whatever he wants to talk about.
Really?
We get 30 minutes with the governor. We also are partnering with the Technology Association of Georgia, and we co-host networking luncheons once a month, and they're held over at Villa Christina. This coming, I think it's June 25th, we have a luncheon featuring the CFO of Autotrader.com, and his name is Dallas Clement. So we also have networking after hours event over at the Powers Ferry Landing area, because we're trying to bring a lot of those folks into the Sandy Springs scene, if you will, because they're kind of on the northwest outskirts.
You don't want the cop people to get them.
No,
right?
No, we don't want the cop people to get them.
Well, you do have an awful lot going on. And, of course, the TAG folks, the Technology Association of Georgia, they're good friends of ours, and we have them in the studio quite a bit.
Right.
And the work they're doing, particularly from what we see in promoting STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math for the
Right, it's so important.
Youth. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, can you talk a little bit about, what is it, the Chairman's Circle Club?
Chairman's Circle Club. Yeah. These are our high rollers, if you will. In many of our businesses, our member businesses are the small businesses,
mm-hmm.
and like some of the people that are our guests today, and some of our big corporate members basically subscribe, if you will, to their chamber membership at a higher level. So they're higher level sponsors, and with that comes additional opportunities to, you know, meet and greet and stuff like that, because places like First Data, UPS. Places like that, you know, have a lot to offer in terms of meeting rooms and spaces and lots of clout in the business industry and in the local scene, if you will.
And that's for people that are listening outside of the metro Atlanta area, Sandy Springs is unique in that it's a suburb of Atlanta, but there's a lot of multi-billion dollar companies that are headquartered here.
Yes. I mentioned UPS and First
Data. You have
Data.
Newell Rubbermaid, you have Cox Communications.
That's correct.
Business Radio X. I mean, they're all right here.
Global Payments right across the street.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Now, what are the benefits of being at that level of the Chairman's Circle Club?
The benefits is you are invited to special breakfasts, and certainly there's with that level of membership, you don't really have to pay as you go, like many of our other members do. When you go to an event, you have to pay. When you're a Chairman's
right.
Circle member, you pretty much can, you know, walk in the door.
Now, are they allowed to allow their employees to have to be members of the chamber? Does
yes.
that happen? Is that one of the benefits?
Yes, that's one of the benefits. When you join in any level of membership, when you're a member of the chamber, all your employees are automatically under mm-hmm. that membership. So for the small mom and pop operation, for example, which is a very, you know, very small price, you know, there's maybe 1 to 5 employees,
right.
1 or 2, or sometimes a sole proprietorship. And some of our big companies will have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of employees. So.
Now, is there a way, does the chamber do anything to create an interaction between the smaller companies and the larger company?
We certainly try. Mm-hmm. We try to gear some events for our large members, but most of our events are for everyone. So mm-hmm. people can go into a networking breakfast or a luncheon or an after hours and meet people from the big companies, small companies, everyone.
All right, let's talk to a couple of your Rockstar members, okay?
You betcha.
All right, we're going to get a chance to talk with the Carlin team, Kara and Jason. Carlin, welcome to the show, gang.
Hey. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Well, we're glad to have you. So you guys are in the real estate world. What's going on with the housing market? What's new?
Well, I'm sure this comes as no surprise, but there's just no inventory out there right now.
And no inventory means no houses for sale?
Means very few houses for sale.
Very few houses for sale. And that means existing houses and brand new ones, or both, or either?
A combination. It's just a completely different market right now than it was a year ago today.
So, and did you guys join this thing together? Did you start together, or one of you were in the business and then conned the other one? How'd that go?
Well, we were both in the real estate industry, kind of on separate paths. You know, but when that last downturn happened in 2007, we decided to join forces and went into business together, and it's been a great thing ever since.
So, and it was a coincidence you both had the same last name, so that was
that was handy, right? It saves
you
on business cards,
the
whole thing,
letterhead,
t-shirts,
right.
All that was cheaper.
Right.
So this low inventory thing, what does that mean for buyers? How do buyers need to approach the market differently, or do they, with this low inventory dynamic?
Well, in this market, like we said, the inventory is very low, so a buyer really needs to have a strong agent, because they need agents that will get them into houses quickly. When they come on the market, they've got to get out there that day if it's a good property, if they want any chance to get it. They need to be prepared. They need to get pre-approved with the lender. And again, just be ready to move. But that's what Karen and I really take care of with our clients, is making sure that they're prepared, making sure that when a house gets on the market, that they're one of the first people in the door so they can see it. If they can't go see it, we're out there previewing homes for our clients every day as they come on the market. We'll go out there right away, like 10 minutes after it goes on the market, we'll be in that door. We know what they want by that time, and if it's something that we think they need to take a look at, we tell them, let's go out during lunch. If you can get out during lunch, if not, let's go right after work. And we've been successful in getting our buyer clients under contract. So.
Now, before the downturn, it seemed like there was a lot of houses that were for sale by owner. Mm-hmm. You were seeing quite a few of them, and now you don't see that as often. Why do you think that is?
Well, they're actually, I think you're seeing quite a few for sale by owners now, and what's happening is people have heard that this market's great, so they think, oh.
They think they can do it on their own.
They do. They think
well,
they can do it on their own.
You guys make it look easy,
huh?
Right?
I'll tell you, it's easier to get a property under contract right now, but when the property goes under contract, that's really where the real work begins, because you got to get to the closing table. And with appraisers and appraisals kind of lagging behind the rest of the market, we're just... The process needs to be taken over and kind of walk to the closing line.
So you guys are with Keller Williams. Why Keller Williams? Because there's certainly a lot of choices available to you, right?
We were on our own. We were Carlin Real Estate for a couple years, and we were fortunate enough to get in with some of the Keller Williams agents, and now. After kind of surveying the market, we found that the Keller Williams First Atlanta office in Sandy Springs is the number one office in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Among residential real estate offices in both units sold and total volume. It's no special formula. It's just the top group of professional real estate agents in the area working together to create that environment.
Now, when somebody is about to sell their house, do you have any tips for them, like how to get it ready, or is it you don't have to do anything nowadays?
The main thing, and Karen and I have kind of developed a process that we use for our sellers. Most important thing is to get professional pictures taken, to get that property looking great on the internet. We also bring in a stager that we use to just in affordable ways just fluff up a property, you know, mm-hmm. just make sure it's clean, ready to present, looking fantastic for the buyers when they walk in the door, because we all know the first impression means everything. So we want people to get a great first impression on the internet, and when they walk in the door, they got to look around and say, this is our home. So it's a combination of those and a very professional marketing plan that we've put into place with the help of Keller Williams advisors, and that's the key to the successful home.
So tell us a little bit about the relationship with the chamber. How and why did you join, and what kinds of activities do you find yourself engaging in that you really feel like is moving the needle in your business?
You know, these networking events are fantastic. Again, to get in front of the high-level professional people in the Sandy Springs area, in our own community, it has just been a great thing for our business. In fact, we met a Keller Williams agent before we joined, and that was one of the reasons why we came over. But it's an exclusive, dynamic community. And to meet these high level professionals is an incredible thing for your own career and for your personal life. Some just wonderful people in this area.
And the marketing for you guys, because look, let's face it, there are a lot of real estate people and real estate firms in the Atlanta market. How in the world do you go about distinguishing yourself and just getting in front of enough of the right people? It just strikes me as a tough road to hoe, as my dad would say.
Right. Oh, it is. And all sales jobs are like this. You know, it's we know it's all about numbers and getting in front of a lot of people, meeting a lot of people, talking to a lot of people. But at the end of the day, even with all the technology that's come into marketing, the best and most successful techniques that we use are the old-fashioned ones. It's phone calls. It's meeting people face-to-face, because you might get a lead over the internet, but until you meet them face-to-face, they're not a client, or they're not somebody that you're necessarily working with. So to have a coffee or a lunch or a phone call is just that's still how business is done in this world.
And then, so if somebody's selling their house nowadays and they want to get a hold of you, you have a website?
Yes, they can visit us on the www.thecarlinteam.com. That's K-A-R-L-I-N. But again, phone call is always the best way. So they can either call Kira at 678-895-8810, or they can call me, Jason Carlin, at 404-822-1578. We'd love to talk to you, and we'd love to help you discuss anything real estate related.
Well, thank you both for coming down this morning and visiting with us. Christine, you got to be just as proud as you can be to have members like this.
You bet.
Part of the group. Hey, listen, how about y'all hanging out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Oh, we'd love to.
All right. Next up on High Velocity Radio, this special Sandy Springs Perimeter Chamber Edition, we have with us from KW Commercial, Mr. Peter Tennis. How you doing, man?
Thanks, Don. I'm doing great.
Well, it's good to have you in the studio. Now, you work at a different side of this real estate world. You work the commercial side. What's the distinction? Describe that for a minute, if you will.
I work with business owners, and it really is a relationship that takes a long time. These folks turn things over very, very quickly. We really work on office buildings. I represent tenants. Tenants usually sign a lease of 3, 4, 5 or longer years, so you're not seeing them every day. So take some time to develop the relationship.
So how did you get in the commercial real estate business?
I lost a job.
That's how?
That's great.
And they'll hire anybody? Is that how it works?
I was new in Dallas, Texas. I'd been relocated by a company, and they were no longer around very, very quickly. So I went back to school. I was married, had 2 kids. Last era of the GI Bill. And when I got out, a bank hired me, and a year later, they put me in the real estate business.
And I understand that you're kind of from my neck of the woods. In fact, my brother lives in Tallahassee, Florida. You went to school down in Tallahassee, didn't you?
The Leon Lions.
Yeah. My brother's down there doing, well, he's a crook is what he is. He's a lobbyist. I guess that's either in real estate or you're working with politics down there, but it's a great place down there. So you went to high school, then you obviously went to service then.
Yes,
you,
I did.
You went and got your GI Bill. Right. So you mentioned tenant. Do you represent tenants in these negotiations?
I'm an advocate for the tenant, for the business owner, as opposed to someone who represents landlords and is trying to lease office space. My job is really to find the best relationship, the best match for their needs, and put them in a building where the landlord will take care of them. It's really important that property management is taken into consideration.
So now if somebody is a business owner and they want to change buildings, move, either get bigger or littler or smaller, and they go into a building, you know, because all the buildings have sales offices, right? I would call you first. That's a better move on my part as opposed to just going right into the sales office of a building.
You don't want to do this alone.
I don't want to do it.
You really don't.
And why is that?
Because you'll be taken advantage of. The scales are really tipped in favor of the landlord. He does this every day. You're going to do it once every 3 or 5 years.
Right.
You don't want to go into it. What's they say about a person who represents themselves in the court?
That's not the right
thing. That's a fool for a client.
Right. So now, if I went into the building directly and you think that they're looking out for the building, I guess, right?
That's correct.
So now if I hire you, you're looking out theoretically for me.
And they'll match building proposals on an equal basis. They'll put them in the format or analysis so that they can see what's the best overall deal. Amenities, rate, property management, all the other things that go in. There's probably 13 or 14 different criteria that we'll evaluate. You do a matrix, and you know, whoever has the high score wins.
And then, but who pays you?
The landlord.
So the landlord pays you. I don't have to pay you anything?
Wow, that's interesting.
You just have to trust me.
I just have to trust you. So I am paying something. I'm paying in trust.
And that's the biggest thing. It really is to develop. Before we go look at buildings, we're going to spend a lot of time understanding your needs, your timing, your budget, your plans. Mm-hmm. Are you growing? And really, by the time we get to that level, you may decide that you want to stay right where you are, and that's just fine. I'll negotiate on renewal.
Oh, so you can negotiate with my existing landlord.
They're really surprised to see me, but yeah.
They're like, "What do you? Who is this guy? You know, I leased you myself last time."
So how far out should you do that? Like it, like if we were thinking about moving or thinking about even talking to someone that knows what they're talking about moving, should we be doing it a month out, 3 months out?
That's probably the most important question that I ask a tenant is, when is your lease up? And the most successful relationships come if I start about 2 years before their lease is up.
2 years.
2 years.
If you go on my website, which incidentally is petertennis.net, mm-hmm. I don't play tennis, but I have examples of a video in which a tenant started 2 years in advance because they weren't sure if they were going to stay or move.
Right.
So by the time we got to the point of going out looking at buildings, I knew everything about their requirements.
And then do you have a specific niche that you work, or do you you can help anybody?
That's another good question. It's essentially, if you're an 800 or 1,000 square foot tenant, I don't really have much leverage with the landlord. I can't really do a lot for you except guide you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be wasting their time trying to make an exclusive relationship. I'd help them with data, but they really need to do that themselves.
So under 1,000 square feet, you're kind of on your own?
It's tough.
But above that, any type of company like technology or medical, you can do anybody?
Really, most all of them. The people that are growing right now are the medical side.
Mm-hmm.
And attorneys don't move often, but they're typically good. I've done a lot of work with CPA firms. I don't have to do the numbers for them. They do it.
That's right.
Well, you know, a lot like our last guest, the Carlins, you live in an eat what you kill world. This is a commission-based opportunity, right? I got to ask, there's got to be some challenges associated with that. And I also got to know how early and how easily your roommate of however many years was okay with that early on in your career.
That's great. My roommate of 13 mm-hmm. years has a nonprofit. She has to go out and raise money, so she's familiar with it. That's for sure. It really is a numbers game. You really need to be out there every day. You need to be prepared with the answers to their questions, and then you need to wait. I have a saying that says it's better to be engaging rather than intrusive. And there's a level at which time you're intrusive. So I ask them, how often do you want me to stay in touch with you? And I use email. I've got a virtual assistant that does all the social media things for me. You asked about the website. Both videos are on the website. Just mm-hmm. go to petertennis.net.
And then the way that you stay, like if somebody you in 2 years out, you figure out, okay, these are their needs. So you're not every day for 2 years, you're not working on their account, right? You're checking the market, seeing if there's any shifts or changes or where there's opportunities, right?
I think that's about a once every 90 day uh-huh. update to see, because their needs may change too. They may have a new client, or they may right. lose a client, so their space needs may go up or down.
And then so at what point do you approach the building, you know, in that 2 year window? When do you?
About a year out.
A year out, you contact several buildings and then kind of do this matrix and compare the.
We start with the best database I've ever seen. It's called CoStar, and they have data on every office building and many, many tenants. So mm-hmm. I start with that, and I stay in touch with them quarterly, so I know pretty much what's happening in the market. But I also call the landlords and try to keep in touch with them. My reputation with them is good. By the way, they're paying me.
That's right. So now, is there anything, like, what's the trends you're seeing? Is it harder to get space now? Because there was a period where there were, I think they called them zombie buildings, where there were nice big buildings, but there weren't that many tenants inside of them.
Another word we use was see-through.
See-through.
You drive by the building, you see right through it.
So is that changing?
Yes, it is, because one, we've stopped construction. We're not building any spec buildings in this market.
Right.
And so inventory, in the last interview, they used the word inventory to describe not so many available, and you better have your ducks in a row. Is that kind of the case on the commercial side too?
We call it vacancy.
Yeah.
And then when people leave space, they absorb space. So what we want is positive absorption. For 3 or 4 quarters, we had less space occupied than we did the previous quarter. So we were losing tenants. People were getting smaller. Today, there's a good balance. The rates are beginning to go up very slowly, and the concessions are what really drives that. When the market was soft, lots of concessions, lots of free rent, lots of new tenant improvements. You know, you had a feast.
Now, is there a lot of opportunity here in Sandy Springs?
Excellent. This is a great business location. A lot of people are drawn here. They can live close by. The city itself is a model of good business. They go about retaining contractors as opposed to building a huge staff. So, and I think the Sandy Springs Perimeter Chamber of Commerce uses that same model.
I saw there's a lot of activity on Hammond, a lot of construction there.
A couple of things have been torn down, haven't they?
Yeah. Do you know what's happening in that space?
It's mostly been driven by medical, but there's a strong retail element now that's coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
And no office buildings, though. There's no spec office buildings in that project on Hammond.
And then do you see this shift from maybe downtown to more in the perimeter area as kind of the new downtown?
No.
Not yet?
People really, there's a move midtown to downtown, downtown to midtown.
Mm-hmm.
But you take a move, a major move, like the Coca-Cola people leaving Northwest Market in Wildwood and moving downtown, that's a very unusual shift.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I don't see that.
So there's still vacancies downtown?
Yes, there are.
And midtown, though, is getting kind of crowded, right?
Rates are pretty high there in Midtown. There was a fellow from one of the Midtown buildings said they're getting $30 a foot. I said, if you don't get it, he says, well, we won't be around.
So I want to get some counsel from you about how to really leverage a membership in a chamber, because you're a member of Sandy Springs Perimeter Chamber, obviously. Something compelled you to join in the first place, but obviously you're finding enough success there and enough value to continue to do it. What kind of counsel would you offer a business person that maybe hasn't joined a chamber yet, why they should join and what kinds of things they should do to help them grow their business?
Every contact you make is important, and the settings for these meetings is excellent. We meet for lunch at a restaurant twice a month. We all get a chance to introduce ourselves. I'd advise somebody to show up and then follow up and try to develop relationships. We're encouraged at the chamber to meet somebody for lunch or breakfast or coffee every time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who it's going to be because you draw the names out of the hat. But it's a really excellent way to get the word out.
And this has helped you in your career?
It has. I've only been a member about a year now. But there's relationships that are built that, as I say, the longer lead time that I have in my business, it may not show up this year. Maybe next year.
Right.
And you're not trying to sell something while you're standing there at the shrimp tray, right? You're just building relationship. You're engaging, I think was the word that you use.
I'm going to go back to the Keller Williams folks and Sean Rawls, who is the operating partner for about six of our offices. And he gives seminars. And I show up at the residential ones, too, because there's a lot of value there. Sean says that you work from an acronym, FORD. Find out about their family, their occupation, their recreation, and their dreams. And that's what develops a relationship.
That sounds like awfully advice. Solid advice to me. Let's start doing that.
Sure. Yeah, starting now.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more? You mentioned a website a couple of times, so all your contact information so they can have a conversation with you when it's time to start thinking about commercial real estate.
We move about quite a bit, so the cell phone is 770-356-5506. The website's still the best way. You can see the videos. You can look at some of the team members that I have that I work with. A little bit about my background. And stay there and open a few of the pages. We need more page views.
And what's the name of the website again or the URL?
www.petertennis.net.
Well, thanks so much for coming down and hanging out with us for a while, Peter. We got to have you back sometime. Maybe from time to time you can keep us up to date on what's going on in your space.
I'd like that a lot.
Christine, let's make sure our listeners know again some of the upcoming events.
And the website of the
and
chamber.
And the website for the chamber.
Okay. First of all, the website for the chamber is www.sspchamber.com. And upcoming events. We're taking it a little bit easy during the month of July, so some of our regular scheduled events will either be on hiatus or we'll just scale back a little bit because everybody's on vacation. So once again, we have a tag luncheon coming up on the 25th. We have a business after hours also on the 25th. And networking at noon on the 27th at Chef Rob's over on Roswell Road.
Is that the Caribbean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That place rocks.
It rocks. It does.
Is there any new businesses that have popped up since the last time we chatted?
We do have a couple new, at least one new restaurant that I know of that is joining the chamber. It's called Barbarito's, and it's at the Prado.
Right.
I've never been, but I hear it's a kind of a Mexican concept.
Right.
Let's go right now. We're about to wrap up. Right.
And then I saw there's a new print shop off of Hammond by the Whole Foods.
Minuteman.
In a Snap imprint.
Imprints, right.
Yeah. Yes, that's a new venture by a longtime chamber member, Neil Weisenfeld, who also owns Adman Promotions. That is going to be, yes, we're having a ribbon cutting there next week as well. They just, they're going to be focusing on on-demand printing of T-shirts and digital, all kinds of cool digital stuff. Some of it while you wait. Nice hoodies and T-shirts and stuff like
that. Wow, that's handy.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of cool stuff happening at Sandy Springs Perimeter Chamber. And you guys are going to come back periodically and keep us caught up, and we're going to get a chance to visit with more members, right?
Absolutely. We look forward to it.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our producer Kevin Finn, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.